Amen. Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're going to dive right into part two of our series, Removing Brain Rot. Last week, we kicked this thing off. I challenged y'all to go back, right, and to evaluate kind of your screen time, your well-being. How many of y'all did that? Four of you. All right. Well, we're going to go back to last week's. No, I'm just kidding. I think I've had some conversations, and for some people, this was something they knew, and for other people, they were a bit shocked by what they saw and what they realized. And, you know, I had some other conversations too. Like what I desired to do last week was just get us looking at and understanding how much time we are spending in digital consumption. And I think that'll help open our eyes to some things and help us begin to make changes. But we didn't really talk about anything else. It was just like, let's evaluate it. Let's evaluate what we're spending our time on and what's, you know, drawing our attention. We're going to continue to do that throughout our series. This is going to be a continual process. Again, our phones, technology, it is a part of our everyday life. And what you and I have to do as Jesus followers is find that balance, that healthy balance between digital consumption, spiritual consumption. And so we're going to continue to kind of go down that road. Last week, I ended my sermon with Philippians 4:8. I wanted to give it to you again to kind of set off what we're going to do. And here's what it says. In verse 8, it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, it says, dwell on these things. And I think this is really where we need to be as Christ followers, is dwelling on, consuming of the things of God. But that's hard to do. In this day and age, right? It's hard to dwell on the things of God when we're just constantly bombarded by distractions and temptations and the things of this world. So today, as we dive into part two, I kind of want to talk about the brain rot of notifications. Last week, we discussed the problem of consumption, and I believe that notifications become a trigger for our overconsumption of digital content. And what do notifications do? They draw our attention, they grab our attention. There's a vibration, there's a sound, there's, you know, sometimes there's a flashing light, and it grabs at us. And often what it's, you know, trying to get us to consume is, it's just unnecessary, it's unfruitful. In some cases, it's even harmful. Or maybe it's just distracting us from the things we need to be doing. But it also tends to lead to these moments of temptation, and sadly, it can lead us into sin. And so what I'll say today is that, you know, notifications are one of the main culprits of our digital overconsumption. And I think as we begin to evaluate our screen time, you know, those notifications are something that pop up. And I think some of us are addicted to just our notifications. To just getting a notification. And any time we get one, we gotta look. It's just like this thing. And now it's not just a phone. Some of you walk around with a watch and you're kind of going like this. You're mid-conversation, you're talking to somebody, you get something, and you're like, that's ever happened to you? Dude, it's so frustrating. If you're that person, stop. Take your watch off, throw it in the garbage. I don't know, because you don't need two different things pulling at you. I act like a hater. This is just my opinion. You can do whatever you want with your watch, but it's frustrating. And so these notifications, here's what they do. They function as little dopamine hits, right? And every time you get a pop up, it's a little dopamine hit. It gets you set. And so due to the addictive nature of notifications, our notifications, just our notifications, become a form of brain rot, where we're just sucked into this world. And as with all forms of brain rot, it can keep us from what we should be doing. Because not only do notifications affect our time with God, they're like a constant distraction and temptation from time with others, and even time in our work. And so I believe that notifications are a huge problem. Like, I'm a strong advocate of removing every notification that is unnecessary. And you got to figure out what that means in your life. What I would say, first and foremost, social media notifications, ready for this? Unnecessary. Turn them off. But again, this is just me. And so you can put that. I think there's an image of my digital well-being and some notifications. So I want to just leave that up for a minute. I want to show you this. I shared my well-being on social media. I'm sharing my notifications with you. And I want you to understand, like, as we talk about these things, like, please know, I am not a barometer for which you need to try to meet. And here's why. Your lifestyle is different than mine. What you have to do with your devices and need to do with your devices, the notifications that you receive, the time that you're spending is going to be different than mine. So don't hear me coming at you and saying that you need to do what I'm doing. That's not what I'm saying. What I want you to do is begin to be mindful of what you're consuming, of how many notifications you are getting, of how many times you are picking up your phone, unlocking your phone, and how distracting it can be. And so my hope is that you'll just begin to do that so you can operate in spiritual renewal over digital consumption. And so I shared this. I'm going to talk about these notifications in a minute. You can kind of see where all my notifications came from. And I didn't even realize it until I went in how many notifications I was actually getting. But the question becomes, do you know how many notifications you receive daily? If you did what I told you to do last week, you went and looked at your screen time, you went and looked at your digital well-being, it probably told you how many notifications you were getting, and then it'll break it down into what apps are notifying you the most. But an average, you can go to the next one, average daily notifications received are as follows. Adults receive about 150, on average, notifications a day. Teens, I love this average that I got, it was like 240 to 360. Like, thank you for that wide average, right? And so, like, of course, you know, teens are going to get more, and they're, you know, maybe more connected, and social media is just rotting their brains. But so there's these averages. I wonder, where do you line up with these averages? Now, go back to mine. I was baffled by mine, right? I'm reading about these averages, and I'm like, well, I'm like worse than the teenagers. What the heck is going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, that's a problem, God. Like, let's work on this. And so I just began to drill down into it, and what I realized that Life 360 was notifying me every 5 seconds, right? And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I figured, like, here's the other thing. With all of our apps, have you ever gone in to look at the amount of specific and unique notifications your apps are going to, especially social media? It's ridiculous. And so I went in and I drilled in. I'm like, what are all these? And there were so many I did not need to get. And so I turned them off. And literally that, like, cut my Life 360. You can see it on Saturdays when I figured it out. And I turned it off, and that's when it dropped. Same thing for my Blink is my cameras. If you have cameras at home, you know, there's schedules, there are times, and there are certain times. And so, like, those two were, like, the majority of my 254 notifications that I received on that day. And you can see it was kind of similar. And so that was a big deal for me. And so as I'm looking into this, I'm realizing, well, there are different forms, right, of notifications. And I just started to do some research on that. And so we have functional notifications, right? Things that we use on the daily for just security and well-being, stuff like that. And so there's functional ones. Then we have the FOMO-driven notifications, right? All the social media apps, all the things we want to stay connected to. And then, of course, we have relational notifications. Not all notifications are created equal. And so we have functional utility-based, and kind of I shared that with me. And so these are just things you're going to get, keep you safe, keep you informed. There's the FOMO-driven, engagement-based, Instagram likes, news ping, shopping deals. They keep you hooked. And then, of course, the relational connection. You have text messages, phone calls, direct chats. And these keep you connected to people. And so as you look at your notifications, you need to figure out, okay, which one of these do I need, don't I need, which ones are important. And even though you have these notifications that serve different purposes, safety, communication, connection, and even shallow engagement, at the end of the day, all notifications interrupt our focus and even contribute to mental fatigue if it's left unmanaged. Now, the average person's 50 to 150 notifications that they receive are usually designed to pull them back into the app. They want to pull you away from what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing, into consuming whatever they want you to consume. Now, again, like, majority of my notifications were from Life 360. I started to drill down into that, and I was like, all right, let's remove some of those. Let's get rid of that. And so I subtracted 254 notifications from Life 360 and Blink, and then I began to look at it from there. And
So about 144 times a day, I'm receiving what I would call relational notifications. Like I told you, none of my social media notifications, those are off. And I'm so glad that I did that. If you want freedom from your device, turn off your notifications. Do you remember anything today? Freedom from your device, turn off your notifications of social media. But at 144 notifications a day, that means the majority of my workday, I'm getting interrupted, I'm getting distracted, my thing's pinging, it's drawing my attention. And here's the fun part, and I started going to this. Do you know how long it takes for someone to refocus on what they were doing after being interrupted? Now, I was looking into some studies. One study said 23 minutes, and I'm like, y'all, you wild. You really hate, you know, all of this stuff. And then another one said it could be anywhere from 60 to 90 seconds. Now, I think going back to that 23-minute, you know, deal, it often depends on what is the notification, right? What is the interruption? What is pulling your attention? How long are you engaged in it? So we can factor it in. But let's say for the sake of what I want to share with you today, we say it takes us 60 to 90 seconds to get refocused after we receive a notification and engage in it. So if I have 144 multiplied by, let's say, 90 seconds, that's 3.6 hours. Of just trying to refocus after my notifications. Y'all, that's a part-time job's worth of distraction every single day. And you just begin to look at these things and you go, if that's just my relational stuff, and I have double that with my FOMO-driven engagement stuff, then, you know, it's even more. And you may know this. You may be aware of this, you may not be aware of this. Now, not all notifications lead to brain rot or digital overconsumption. Like I said, they're not all bad, but you know, they can distract us. They can disturb our workday. They can dull our minds, and they can even kind of disrupt our relationships. And I wanted to share that data with you so that you can help manage your daily productivity and your focus. But you've also got to realize that there is a spiritual aspect to this, the enemy trying to pull you in. And so that's just the reality of it. Going back to, you know, that Philippians 4:8, where it says, dwell on these things, it's hard to dwell on the things of God when we're constantly distracted by, you know, the things of the world. And so this is an important thing that we've got to realize in our life, and seeing these distractions that are coming from digital content and pulling us away from the things of God. And so along with notifications being a distraction, what I'll say to you is that there's something even more alarming. An even more alarming problem is that often our notifications become temptation. And they bring temptation. You know, last week I said, you know, brain rot, it's not new. Well, we have a new phrase for it, but it's been something that's been around for a very long time. And like these notifications, like, you know, getting news about something, hearing about something, being alerted about something, getting a notification isn't new. As a matter of fact, this is a temptation and distraction tactic of the enemy, Satan, used in the Garden of Eden. The original notification is when this talking snake slid into Eve's DMs. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, he pops in. He's like, hey, Eve, right? There's this direct message you can throw. Like, that fruit you've been admiring, right? It's the best in the garden. Guaranteed to open your eyes. God's holding out on you. One little bite, you'll be like him. Wise, powerful, unlimited. Trust me, this bite will change everything. And maybe it's not a DM notification, maybe it's an ad, a sponsored ad that pops up, and it sounds something like this: best fruit alert. Here's what we got: top rated in paradise, guaranteed to elevate your status, become wise, be like God, unlock hidden knowledge, one taste, and you'll never see the world the same, because your man's gonna be naked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got y'all with that one. But yeah, so, you know, going to Genesis 3, let me read this. Let me read this to you. You know, this original temptation, this notification, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say, You can't eat from the tree in the garden. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit in the trees of the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. No, you'll not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He sent that out. She saw it. She heard it. She grabbed a hold of it, saw that the tree was good for food, delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit, and she ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, I think from this story, I think the one thing we got to realize is, Eve was already near the tree, right? And maybe in this moment, she's just admiring God's handiwork and resting in the presence of just God's creation. And then I need you to understand, before the serpent shows up, Eve had no desire or intent to eat the fruit until the thought and lies came from an external source. See what I'm saying? She received a notification of temptation, and Satan infiltrated her thoughts, sowing doubt on God's goodness and God's truth, tempting her to go against God's will. And she says, you know, you're right. And she takes it and she eats. Isn't this what happens today? Something pops up. Something comes across our feed. And for the most part, it's probably something that we're interested in because our devices are always listening. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are not my device. Got that thing on lockdown. I don't even talk around it. No. But they are. You'll be talking about something, and then something pops up. You're like, what the heck's happening? You know what I'm saying? And then also our shopping, our browser, it's everything's being tracked. And so you're on Amazon, and you're looking for something, and all of a sudden you're over on Facebook, and you're like, oh, there's exactly what I was looking for. How did this work? It's technology. It's all in this way in order for you to keep consuming and keep you hooked. And so anyway, something comes across. Maybe it's something we're interested in. There are other times it's things we are not interested in. And we see it, the notification, the pop-up, the ad promises something. Maybe it's health, maybe it's comfort, maybe it's money, maybe it's pleasure, maybe it's material items. In our thoughts are infiltrated by temptation. Often, we can swipe away, but sometimes we take the bait. We click on it, we buy it, we consume it. And we don't want to do this alone, so what do? We share about it. We send out that great deal. We send over that thing. We share the purchase and the great finds with others. Just like Eve was like, hey, Adam, check this out, bro. I don't want to eat this alone. Because if God comes over here, it needs to be both of us. So here you go. Get in on some of this. And so what the enemy did to Eve, he has continued to do. Tempting people today on a massive scale through various forms of digital content and social media. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says this, Apostle Paul talking to the church in Corinth. It says, I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a complete and pure devotion to Christ. And I want everyone to understand this, know this, realize this. What this thing is doing, whether it was designed to do it or not, the enemy is using to seduce us away from complete devotion to Christ. And our notifications are what pull us in. So, this digital consumption is triggered by notification temptation. And all those things distract us and pull us away from living like Christ and pursuing Christ. And so the question today becomes, what notifications are tempting you to step out of obedience to living in the will of God? Because just as there are culturally consuming notifications that we subscribe to and indulge in, right, that pull us away and tempt us to act in some way, ultimately leading sin, there are also spiritually renewing notifications that we can subscribe to, that we can engage in, that will help us combat the temptation, the lies, the deception that are thrown at us and promised to us by culture and by the enemy. In James 4:7 and 8, it says, submit to God. Submit your heart to God, your mind to God, your life to God, your work to God. You submit to God. And then it goes, resist the devil. We're going to submit, and as we submit, we're going to resist, and as we resist, he will flee from you. And it goes on to say, draw near to God, and as we draw near to him, choosing to consume more of who he is and what he has, he will draw near to us. And then it goes on and says, cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded people. And I want to, you know, kind of just bring that back. If you were here last week, I talked about this tension that we live in, right? This tension that exists. Like, are we going to live culturally or spiritually? Are we going to live to please the Spirit? Or are we going to live to please our own fleshly desires? And you got to know this. You must know this. Like, cultural notifications lead us to engage more with the ways of the world. But spiritual notifications are going to lead us to engage more in the ways of God. Which one are we subscribing more to? And so again, if you receive on average 50 to 100 cultural notifications tempting you and enticing your fleshly desires, but you as a Jesus follower desire to continue to be sanctified, right? To operate and live in the Spirit over the flesh, then guess what that means? That you will need to make necessary changes to receive the same, or if not more, spiritual notifications. So if you're getting all this digital cultural input and it's trying to pull you away from God, then that means that you have to seek and pursue spiritual input to combat what the enemy in the world is trying to put into your heart and mind. And so I'm talking about, you know, spiritual notifications. Maybe you're like, what is that? I mean, this is just hearing from God on a daily basis, the will of God, the purposes of God. It happens in various forms and in various ways. But if you want to receive the spiritual notifications, first thing you got to do is you got to subscribe to them. And after you subscribe to the notifications, because it's one thing to be subscribed to it, it's another thing to actually consume what you are subscribed to. I mean, how many of y'all get email subscriptions that you just delete all the time? Yeah, we all do that. And we just need to unsubscribe. Like, there's a practice for you. Go through your email and unsubscribe from all that crap that you normally delete or pass over. Okay, anyway, I got off track. And so first we need to subscribe. Then we need to consume the things of God. And then after we're consuming and taking it all in, guess what we do next? We engage in the good news. So here's how it goes. As we believe in Jesus, there's the subscription to him. Then we consume the life of Jesus, who he is, what he did. And that will move us to participate in sharing about who Jesus is and what he did. And so if we want to receive these daily spiritual notifications, here's what you got to do. It's right there. You subscribe to the good news. And what I'm talking about, subscribe, this is belief in Jesus. And it's justification that can only come through Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that can justify your sin and rescue you from death that is most to happen from it. He did that, he alone. So we get to the belief in justification, who Jesus is and what he did to save us. And that's one thing, and that's great. But guess what? Even the demons believe in Jesus. So what goes next is we gotta begin to then consume the good news. This is learning and sanctification. After believing, we continue to seek who Jesus is, what he did, how he lived, the story of God, and then we become more like him, daily becoming more like him. And then there's one thing to subscribe. There's another thing to consume, because the religious leaders consumed all of the Old Testament, and they still missed it. The next part is to engage in the good news. And this is sharing and participation. So this is telling others about Jesus, and this is showing others who Jesus is through our actions. And it's got to be all three of these, that we're continuing to believe, that we're continuing to be sanctified, that we're continuing to share. And as we continue to believe and learn and share in the good news, our life will be flooded with spiritual notifications, right? And the Spirit will speak to us. And so you may be like, okay, well, how does that happen? Well, it's in the ways that you would think. So you want to receive these spiritual notifications. You got to seek them out and you got to practice them. Go to the next slide for me. And so this is through hearing and sharing scripture, right? You do this here. You're coming to hear scripture, to learn scripture, to study scripture, but it's also You know, doing it on your own time, doing it with other believers. This is all also feeling and seeing life change. So you experience life change, you experience what God's done, and you continue to experience that throughout your life. But then you also see and you celebrate the life change that is happening in others around you. Your spouse, your kids, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbor, a family member. You feel it and you see it and you stay involved in it. Then it's praying for others and receiving prayer from others. Y'all, we do this with you every week. This is why it's so important, because it helps us connect to one another, to come alongside one another and connect to God and see God move. And we receive these notifications and he moves us. And then finally, it's praising and thanking God for who he is, for what he's done, even in the midst of tragedy. What am I saying with all this? You want to receive spiritual notifications, it means that you begin to live in the ebb and flow of gospel community, right? Where we're learning and growing and sharing within a group of believers. Do you know what they call this? The church. And the church is not a building. The church is not a place. The church is the very people that you choose to do life with in order to become more like Jesus, right? Receiving these spiritual notifications to help one another and come alongside one another. And so as we read and share scripture, as we pray and receive prayer, as we serve and are served, as we sing out praises to God, guess what? The Spirit is going to move, and you'll see it, and you'll experience it, and you'll get these spiritual notifications. But you gotta stay actively subscribed, consuming, and engaging in the good news. And here's what I'll say to you. Consumption of and engagement in the good news is going to require effort from you. You're gonna have to put something into it. Jesus did the saving work on the cross. You don't have to do anything to earn your salvation. But there will be an effort for you to daily put off your old self and to seek him and become more like him, to be better, right? To be a better version of yourself. The better version of yourself is the one that looks more like Jesus, because he is perfect. And so what this looks like, what the enemy does is offers, you know, temporary comfort and satisfaction with very minimal effort. There's not a lot you need to do. Just consume this, take this. It's not a big deal. But God offers the opposite, right? He offers eternal hope and reward, but it will require effort. I want to share some scriptures to you. These are going to be rapid fire. They should be back to back. Philippians 3. This is the Apostle Paul. And here's what he says. Now, not that I've already reached the goal or am already fully mature. What's he say? But I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ. What he did for me means I'm going to continue to work towards him. And he reminds the church in Galatia in verse 9 of chapter 6. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all. And then we get to Jesus' words in Matthew 16:24. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And you just think about the effort and the work and the hardship and the trouble and the turmoil that comes from taking up a cross. What Jesus did for you, right? And do you see this thread of effort that is needed? Again, if you desire to continue to be sanctified, to become holy like Jesus is holy, you have to daily consume and engage in the things of God, even amidst the tension that you feel from the pull of culture around you. And here's the reality. You ready for it? That tension will never let up. It's never going to stop. Culture is never going to stop coming at you. The enemy's never going to stop trying to tempt you. But the more that you draw closer to God, the more that you rely on, listen to, and are obedient to the Holy Spirit, the easier it will become. You want to know why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. John 16:33, what's it say? It says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And this is it. This is what we hold on to. This is what we pursue. This is what we engage in. Jesus' victory over sin and death is the good news. That's what we subscribe to, that's what we consume, and that's what we engage in. And it's so vital. It's so vital that we do that because guess what? This world is full of bad news. And we've experienced many of it, much of it this week. We know there's bad news every week. But this week it was hard. With the assassination of Charlie Kirk. At the same time, there's a school shooting in Colorado. A few weeks before that was the stabbing of that young girl, Irina, on the train. The world is full of bad news. And so that means we must hold on to the good news, right? Because here's the power and the truth and of the gospel and the good news. Ready for it? Our greatest tragedy, death, becomes victory only through the good news of Jesus. You understand? Like, no amount of bad news can overpower, overshadow, or relinquish what Jesus already did on the cross. And how he saved us and the good news that we have in Christ. And so that's why we've got to stay subscribed. We've got to continue to consume it and that we must continue to engage in it. Listen, Charlie Kirk died for boldly and confidently sharing the good news. The apostles, many of them died for confidently and boldly sharing the good news. Jesus died to become the good news. And it's through belief in him and in surrender in our life to Jesus that death can never, listen to me, death can never claim victory over us again. And that's something that's so powerful for us to remember and to hold on to. As a matter of fact, when evil men attempt to silence the good news through the killing of God's disciples, it tends to have the opposite effect. I've seen this, I've witnessed this, but in Charlie Kirk's death, you know, more people now know about Charlie Kirk and what he stood for and what he believed and the message that he brought. More people are sharing, right, the faith that he had. And there are some people who were opposed to him who now through his death have come to believe what he believes about Jesus. I saw this post the other day that said in a matter of 3 days, Charlie's followers grew by 8.3 million people. Do you know what that means? That through the tragedy of his death, 8.3 million people have been introduced to the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful thing. His wife, Erica, I think it was 2 days, I don't know how she did this, 2 days after the death of her husband, and her children losing their father, she goes live and declares this, and I want to read it to you. Says, the evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they've done. They killed Charlie because he preached the message of patriotism and faith and God's merciful love, but they should all know this. If you thought my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you've just unleashed across the country in this world. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world as a battle cry. And I think in one sense you go, what my husband was doing and what he was preaching got him killed. And we could say, I'm gonna back off. But she says, no, we're gonna press in even more because the message that he was proclaiming is the best news that this world could ever hear and more people need to know about it. Listen to me. When evil attempts to silence good men, good men rise up so that the good news can be heard, seen, and felt even more. And so in the wake of this, I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if there's anger. I don't know. But at the end of the day, what we need to cling to, what we need to share is that there is good news in Jesus Christ. Charlie Kirk believed it. His wife believes it. She's going to keep sharing it. And so let's continue to share the good news, to engage in it, to consume it so other people can grab a hold of it. It's important to understand that. You know, I wanted to take a moment to share about what happened because it connects so much with our discussion. Because at some point this week, you received a notification about Charlie Kirk's assassination. How are you going to respond to that? And I think an even more profound statement is how will we carry on his good news legacy that he carried on from Christian martyrs before him? And that's the reality. That's what we're called to share the good news. And if we're actively consuming and engaging in the good news, then the Spirit will move. And we'll feel these Spirit's notifications, and the Spirit will give us peace, and the Spirit will reveal the promises of God, and the Spirit will remind us of God's goodness, and the Spirit will embolden us to share our testimony, to share about what we know and what we believe in and what we found in Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, the notifications we receive from the Spirit, they must become what we are consuming and sharing more, because this world needs more Jesus. And we've been given the Spirit to be the vessel to tell people about him. Church, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes as we enter into a time of just reflection and commitment and prayer. And maybe just begin to ask yourself some of these questions. What notification temptations are you receiving that you need to remove? Well, you know, which ones are distracting you and drowning out what God wants to reveal to you, or keeping you from pursuing him so that he can reveal something to you? Today, you know, where do you find yourself? Are you subscribed to the good news? Like, you believe in Jesus and you're thankful for what he did, but you're not consuming. You're not continuing to learn to be sanctified. Or maybe today you've subscribed and you're consuming, but you haven't moved into participation. You haven't moved into being engaged, whether it's through serving or sharing your testimony. I think this is all of this is a part of what we need to do, what we're called to do in Christ. We are saved by him to go tell people about him so that more people can come to know him. So where are you at? Do you find that you believe in Jesus just not enough to actively seek him and share others and tell others about him? Work through that this week. Say, lift that up to God. Figure out ways you can begin to grow more, learn more, be more sanctified. Maybe it's just reading your Bible more. Maybe it's joining a group. Maybe it's meeting up with somebody to talk about the things of God. Whatever it is, whatever you're feeling called to, do it. And don't use the distractions of this world to keep you away from it. Maybe for you today, you've not even gotten to the point of subscription. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard what he's done for others. Maybe you've had your doubts, maybe you've had your questions, but you've never moved to belief in and justification by him. And so today, maybe the step that you need to take is to subscribe to the saving power of Jesus in your life, recognizing that you're a sinner, that he died to save you from your sins, and that he rose again 3 days later so that you could experience eternal life with him. Make that decision today. To surrender your life to him, to subscribe to what he has, and then begin to consume and engage in the good news of Christ. God, we thank you for your son. and the good news that he brings. I think without the power of this good news, every day we would be overwhelmed, overburdened, feeling depressed and anxious by all the bad news that we see and experience in our lives. So today, God, may we hold on to the good news of your Son, the victory of the cross and the empty tomb, and that you called us into relationship and life with you. God, death can no longer have victory when we submit and surrender our life to what your Son did on the cross. May we hold on to that, and may we share that with all we come in contact with. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.